First off, I would like to thank the elders and everyone for giving me this opportunity to stand before you and proclaim the word of God. I want to talk about a really, really important situation this morning that's going on in the world, and it's really affecting what God would have all men to do. And that thing is, we are hearing in this world a lot of times, men and people are saying any church will do. They're saying that you can go to any church you would like to go to, and God is there. And they use scriptures out of context. Not only do they use scriptures out of context, they make them fit where they want them to fit. And if you present to them other scriptures that defeat theirs, they just run somewhere else. So today, what I want to do is, I want to show that there is not many churches. There's only one church, and it's the only vehicle that man must be in order to get to heaven. Now, I want to start from a very familiar passage of scripture. I want to turn to Matthew 16, starting at verse 13, and I'll finish reading it at number 18. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." If we're looking for a sermon title today I would like to speak from the text, "Any church won't do." Now, I have 4 points. Point number one, there is only one church, and it can be proven by the word of God. If we turn to Ephesians 4:4, the Bible says, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling." Now, a lot of people will say, "Well, Marcus, that didn't say church. That said one body." Now, I would look at them and tell them, thank you. You know, thank you for paying attention. Because what we're seeing here is something being reiterated from what was already stated in Ephesians 1. So let's turn to Ephesians 1 and we can find out what was being reiterated and why it was called the body. Ephesians 1 verse 22 says, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Now, we see here what the body is. The body is the church. There can be no disputing this, for the Bible has just defined what the body is and what the church is. And it clearly, again, it says, the body is the church. And if you're reading the Bible and you take body and you put the word place, you put in place the word church, there's nothing wrong with that. You can say the body, the church, they go hand in hand. Now, number two, we must figure out who's the head of this body or the church. All right, we can go to Ephesians 5:23, and we'll figure out who the head of the church is. And we see Paul here talking to the church at Ephesus, but he's dealing with marriage. But then while he's dealing with marriage, he makes a defining point of who is the head of the church as he deals with marriage. He says in Ephesians 5:23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything." Now, just the other day, I was having a conversation with a guy online, and he said to me that Peter is the head of the church. And I took him to this scripture, and he ran back to Matthew 16, and he went to verse 19. But clearly, it never said Peter was the head of the church. And some of the Catholics, they believe this, that Peter was the first pope, and they say that, you know, Peter is the head of the church. But clearly, we find out in Ephesians 5 who's the head of the church. It can be no disputing this, for Christ is the head. Now, with this, we must also figure out, if Christ is the head, who should we listen to then? Now, Christ did tell Peter in Matthew 16:19 that he gave him the keys to the church. Now, I can't dispute that. The Bible says it. But we must figure out who Peter was listening to and what was Peter saying and what was Peter going to do. Now, point number three, division. Now, when we have division, I try to tell people all the time that truth does not create division. It's a fallacy that creates division. Truth just stands. Now, when you present a lie, you present something that's false, what we find is that's where the division is created. Thus, somebody wants to go off on their own will and get away from the will of God. Now, if you go to 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, and he's telling them a very, very foundational point of the church. And he tells them, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now, if we all speak the same things, there is no division. Now, I can't stand here and say something completely different from Brother Carlos. I can't do that. We are in the same church. We should say the same thing when it comes to teaching the Word of God. There should be no differences in what we talk about and what we speak. Now, in the denominational world and in the religious theater today, what we see is people have made their own wills instead of sticking to the will of God. What they say is baptism is not essential for salvation. You'll hear things like just say the sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. You will hear things like we can use instruments during worship service. You'll hear many different things. Now, in order to prove these things, you must get back to the script, get back to the Word of God, and we can find there everything that we must do through His what He's commanded for us to do. Now, it's a good point to make that just because you say Jesus' name and you do everything you say in Jesus' name, that doesn't validate that you're a Christian. That doesn't validate that you're a member of the Lord's church. And Jesus cleared this up himself in Matthew 7, starting at verse number 21. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Then he goes on to say, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Now, what Jesus is doing here, he's telling them, he's saying that in those days, in the last days, many people are going to stand up and do a lot of things. They're going to put my name on it. But we have a sure way of knowing whether they're really of me or not. And just because you say you're in Christ, there's a way to prove if you're in Christ. Galatians 3:27 tells us how we even get into Christ. And if you're saying that baptism is not essential for salvation, well, Galatians 3:27 says it puts you into Christ. Now, there can be no disputing that. And for we have scripture and the word of God to back us up in proving that one point. And not to deal with just baptism, but there's a lot of different things that they say in the religious theater today that this is of God. This is of Jesus. And we see that on many TV evangelists. And what they try to do is they try to pull out something that isn't even there. They try to create something that it's almost even a mystical event that this has to be of God. I've heard people say that they've seen God. I've heard people say that they've seen Jesus. I've heard people call themselves apostles today. And clearly, we can go to the Word of God and find out if that is true or not. And the thing that I like to always say is, let's stick to the script. We don't have to deviate at all. If there's anything from God that He wants us to know, He'll tell us. We don't have to try to figure it out on our own. Now, if Jesus is saying that people are going to do these things in his name, then I can stand here today and say that the Baptist church and the Methodist church, the Catholics, that they don't teach good things. They do. They teach that you shouldn't kill. They teach that you shouldn't steal. They teach that you shouldn't do a lot of things. But just because they place Jesus' name over it doesn't make it legit of being that they're in Christ. That's not true at all. That's not true, and we can just go to the Word of God and figure this out. But they do. They teach good things. But just because you teach good things, as Jesus just identified right here, doesn't mean you're of him. Now, when you listen to the, to these people in the religious theater today, there's some things that you should look for. And one of those things is, when a man asks, what must he do to be saved? We should always, really, your ears should perk up. You should really try to figure out, what are they saying? Because this is the defining moment that we figure out how a man can come through the can come into the church. The doors have to be open. They're extending their invitation. And if you open your ears and really listen to what they say, you can find out right then if and they're sticking to the Word of God by merely just holding on to what they say as far as coming into Christ. Now, after Peter confessed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God in Matthew 16, and we get to Matthew 16:19. I'll go back and read that. We see that Jesus gives out a specific set of keys. Now, at this time, of him giving them out, we don't really know what this is. But we're going to find out just a little bit later when we get to the book of Acts. But in Matthew 16:8, starting at verse 18, again, I'm going to reread this. We see these keys. In Matthew 16:18, it says, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In verse 19, he says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Now, this specific set of keys we know is going to open up the door to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus gave them to Peter. And many people say, well, this was Peter, Jesus giving Peter the head of the church. I don't see that there. I just see him getting a set of keys that are going to open up the doors of the kingdom of heaven. And then my thing is, we must find out if those doors were ever open. Now, all we have to do is continue going through the Bible, and we will find those keys being used. Now, once we get to Acts 2, what we see here is, you know, there's 120 in the upper room. The Holy Spirit just come, and what we find is we're going to see the 12 apostles standing there, and the Holy Spirit just coming in. They start speaking about the wonderful works of God, and then what we find is Peter stands before everybody on the first day of Pentecost, or the first Pentecost after the resurrection, and what Peter starts to do is he starts to preach the first gospel sermon. Now, we know he has the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and we're going to find out if anybody ever enters into that kingdom of heaven. But all we have to do is watch Peter. Peter, we know, has the keys. Now, if Peter has the keys and he starts to preach the first gospel sermon, once Peter gets around verse Acts 2:38, well, let's take a step back. Before even Peter gets to Acts 2, well, before we get to Acts 2:38, the people there, the Jews there, ask, what must they do? And Peter tells them in Acts 2:38 very clearly, if you want to run right over there with me, we can read exactly what Peter said. And so there can be no disputing if Peter was the one who had the keys to the kingdom of heaven and let the first members of the church in. Now, Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, what we see here, Peter just opened the door. He preached the first gospel sermon. That was the keys. Because no man can come to God unless he hears the gospel. He has to. It's a must. And what he must hear is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we see that Peter just preached just that. And he told those Jews, when they asked, what must they do? Now, this right here is clearly from what they've heard up until this point. They've never heard this. I mean, we haven't even, if you're reading the Bible before this, you don't even hear this. It was what Peter's stating right here. The gospel hasn't been preached. This was the first gospel sermon. Now, if Peter opened up the doors and we see the first members actually entering into the church right here as we continue reading on, and we do see that they were baptized and the Lord added to the church that day such as should be saved. Now, if this is the case, then how today can man stand and say, you don't have to do what Peter did in Acts 2? And that's what we find out. And if you're watching many of these TV evangelists, if you're watching, if you know anything about these other denominations, they don't stand and do what Peter did on this day. Peter preached the gospel. It was heard. And people responded to it. And he told them what they must do. Now, this doesn't include, I never read Peter saying, say the sinner's prayer. I've never read Peter saying any church will do. I've never read Peter even stating anything other than what the gospel is, and then telling them what Jesus had already said. He just reiterated the fact. And this is not Peter being the head of the church, because he's really speaking from what Jesus had already told him. If you ever want to prove that Jesus Christ is the head of the church, then what you can do is go back and read Jesus' words. You can read him. You can read Jesus' words, and he'll tell you that you must be baptized. He'll tell you that you must hear. He'll tell you that you must repent. He'll tell you that you must confess. He'll tell you that you must be baptized. Now, what we see with Peter is Peter just reiterating what he's already heard. And that is a sure doctrine, because Peter wouldn't stand there and lie. Peter wasn't going to lie. He knew he had the keys. He knew he had to do what he was called to do, and that was what he did. Now, today, if any man is to enter into the church, and as I've stated, any church won't do, then what church must he be a part of? That would be the million-dollar question today. Then what church? And people like to say the Church of Christ, we made up something with this name. People want to place that the Church of Christ, we make up a name for the building, and that's what we try to, you know, bind on man today. But I ask people, then whose name should be on the church? There's no disputing whose name should be on the church. Whose church is it? And I use the example a lot of times with me and my wife. My wife's last name is Stanley. And if her last name is Stanley, then that shows who she belongs to. And if that's my wife, then she shouldn't wear the somebody else's name. She's my wife. And if Jesus, if Paul in Ephesians said that man is the head of the wife, and the husband is the head of the wife, and Christ is the head of the church, then let's use a name. That if my wife's last name is Stanley and she's Mrs. Marcus Stanley, then her last name shouldn't, when you see her, you shouldn't say her last name is Jones. Her last name isn't Townsend. Her last name isn't anything but Stanley. That's how you know that she's my wife. Now, let's make this parallel with the church. Now, if we see the church, what name should it wear? What name should the church wear? I've seen, you can just drive down many of these streets, you'll see people put St. Mark on the church. They'll put words such as Baptist on the church. They'll put words Luke. They'll put everybody's name on the church. But who does it belong to? When I see those buildings, I don't see Christ. I see St. Mark. I see St. Luke. You know, I see all these different names, but that's not the church. That's not what Jesus died for. How dare we today take the name of Christ off the church and place somebody else's name on it? They didn't die for it. And they didn't, they aren't the ones who died for the sins of mankind. So as we look at that, we must also say, if they consider that we made something up, if they consider that we have taken the word of God and made up something with his name, then we all have a problem today, then, that I see. Because if Christ's name can't be on the church, then whose name can be? It's his. He said in Matthew 16:18 that he would build his church. He built it, and then we know he's ahead of it. And when you look at me, you don't look at my head and say, well, look, this is Carlos. You don't do that. You don't look at me and say, as I stand here today, you don't say, Victor speaking. The head is who you see. And if the head, if we're the body, then Christ is the head. When we look at the church, well, who should we see? We should see Christ. And that's it. That's the defining, nothing else left to define. We have it all laid out for us. And I say, well, how dare people take Christ off the church? How dare they add a name to it that's not even written in the Bible? How dare they take a name out of the Bible and place it on the church? We shouldn't do those things. And as I close today, what I want to make sure that people really understand is that Christ died for the sins of the world. He came to the sin-cursed world. He died on the cross. He was resurrected on the third day, and he ascended to the right hand of God. And if he has all power and authority, then let's make sure we uplift his name. Let's make sure that we don't place anybody else's name on the church. Let us all speak the same things. Let us all stand boldly and profess the word of God. For if we are the church, and we are the only vehicle that a man can be in order to get to heaven, then what we must do is stand boldly, profess the word of God, not deviate from the script at all. Because if we ever show any deviation, then we give them light. We give them light to be able to do what they want to do. And I think what we have to do as a church is continue to stand firm on the word of God. Every day, you know, people see my Facebook post, and the first thing they want to say is they'll say that, you know, all I'm looking to do is prove things. Well, I have a great scripture in the Bible that tells me that I can do just that. It says I can prove all things and hold steadfast to that which is good. And I'm willing to stand firm every day and prove what thus said the Lord. And people say, well, you shouldn't tell a man that what he speaks of about God is wrong. Well, I have another scripture from the Bible where God says, try all spirits, whether they be of God. And if that's the case, if I can stand firm on the scriptures and do as God has commanded, then we can all find solace in that. We can all know that we are doing what God has said do. And with that, I would like to extend the invitation to anybody that's out here today who may not be a member of the church. And what you're looking for is salvation. And if you're truly seeking God, and if you truly want to be where God has put salvation, then you're going to have to do what Peter, you're going to have to hear what Peter spoke on the first Pentecost after the resurrection. For he had the keys, he stood boldly and preached the first gospel sermon. That's what you must hear also. You must hear exactly what Peter preached. And what Peter preached was that Jesus Christ came to a sin-cursed world. He died on the rugged cross for the sins of the whole world. He rose on the third day, ascended to the right hand of God. And he still lives and he reigns today over his church. And with that, hearing those words, if you believe it with all your heart, then you today, my friend, can be saved. But all you have to do after that is you need to repent. And what repentance is a change of heart. It results in a change of action. Change your mind to sin. Say those things that you've done up until this point you don't want to do anymore. That you're going to live for God. And you're going to live for doing what his will and not the will of man. And when you do that, you confess the name of Jesus Christ, even as we've seen Peter do, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And he stands today reigning over his church, and he's in heaven, and he's clearly the authority that we must listen to. And also, once you do those things, you must go into the watery grave of baptism. For, as I stated before, Galatians 3:27, that it is in baptism that you're put into Christ. No man can come to be in Christ unless you are put in the water grave of baptism. Don't let any man tell you that you can't be, that you don't have to be baptized. And a lot of times people are trying to put baptism off. Well, we'll do it a month later. We'll do it, you know, a couple of weeks later. That's not the church. That's not what we've seen in the Bible. And when we see in the Bible, baptism was so serious that they did it right then. They understood that it puts you into Christ. And after you've been baptized into water grave of baptism, what you must do then is live faithful unto death. For if we live faithful, we know that we can receive our crown. Now, also for those members of the church who have fallen away, there's also a way for you to be reinstated back into the fold. And what we must do is we must repent of those sins that we've done, that we've committed. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, if you've fallen away, humble yourself. Just all you have to do is humble yourself. Repent of your sins, come back to Jesus, and continue to do the works of God. Continue to live faithful, and you too can receive a crown. And as we stand here, I've presented to you exactly what Peter did, who had the keys. But Peter was only reiterating what Jesus had already told him. And that's what we must do. Jesus said, if you hear these sayings of mine, then he'll liken you into a wise man. For we can't sit here and be clever and come up with a lot of different things that we can do. But what we must do is go back to Jesus. See what he said. Mark 16:16, Jesus said, if you believe in him and is baptized, you shall be saved. There can be no disputing that. Jesus said it. And he said, if you hear these sayings of mine, I will liken you unto a wise man. And with that, we can find solace. We can find our foundation. We can make it to heaven. And with this, I just want to say, if it's weighing on your heart right now, a lot of times we don't like to spend a lot of time on the invitation, but this is one time in service I think is very, very serious. And if it's weighing on your heart, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. If you want to come, just come. It's not to be ashamed in front of man. Confess Jesus in front of man. Because Jesus has told you, if you confess me in front of man, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to come today to make sure that we're right with God. And we want to make sure that we're doing what God has said do. That's the only thing. For we all want eternal life. And if you didn't want eternal life, you probably wouldn't be here today. You probably wouldn't be sitting here doing what God has asked you to do. So with everybody, take a look at your heart. Know that you're right with God. Be right with God. Study His word. Make sure that everything adds up. Let Scripture interpret Scripture and let it all harmonize. Because when it all harmonizes, we find out there's only one church. There is only one. And I'm just a little overwhelmed. When you know the word of God goes out, it's just one of those times where you feel really blessed. You feel really blessed to know that in your journey, you were one. You were one that God called. And it just makes you feel good. So I tell anybody, don't be ashamed. It's very, very important. It's a very serious matter. Be right with God. Don't listen to man and the traditions of man. Hold firm to the word of God. Just hold firm to the word of God. It's there. It has the power to save our souls. So if you would like to respond to today, I ask you to come as we together stand and sing.